Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Mentors to the Soul of Business Telesummit. I'm so glad to have you on board. This is Kathleen Hannigan from www.kathleenhannigan.com. I call myself Mentor to the Soul of Business. This telesummit was inspired by the great yearning I see in so many people today to find a way to share their unique gifts with the world and create a business that allows them to remain aligned with their passion and purpose, or what I call their souls. I'm so grateful to have a magnificent group of evolutionary entrepreneurs who have chosen to be guided by their passion to serve and created lives of prosperity by sharing their brilliant light. Today we have Maureen Campiola from Breakthrough Your Money BS. Maureen is a fellow Massachusetts woman, not far from me actually. She is the CEO of Breakthrough Your Money BS, a recovering overspender, overcharger, and someone teetering on the brink of bankruptcy. Maureen faced her money fears head-on, bursting through her money drama, and now enjoys the freedom that only true money recovery can bring. She changed her money story and is a certified money coach and is here to help all of us to change ours as well. So I'm so glad to have her today. Her presentation will be Kiss the BS Goodbye, How to Easily Rid Yourself of Money Guilt So You Can Value Yourself and Open the Door to Wealth. And before I have Maureen speak, what I'm going to do, and I've been doing this with all the speakers, is I'm going to just ring a bell, have us all be quiet, get really centered, and get ready to really hear Maureen and what she has to say. And in that time, I'm telling you this as well, Maureen, I let a question arise, and I never even know what it is, really, which I'm going to start off asking you and then just kind of go from there. So let's just all, you know, take a deep breath and get present. So hello, Maureen. Welcome. Welcome.
Hi, Kathleen. Very nice to be here.
So good to have you. I'll tell you the question that came up for me in that moment.
Okay.
And I have no idea. I'll tell you. It's just amazing. The question that I'm to ask you is, who do you have to thank most right now in your life?
Who do I have to thank most?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. That's a loaded question. So many people I could thank. For so many different reasons, but I think primarily my parents. And I say that my mother has been ill for the last year and a half, and I've been caring for her, and I've learned so many incredible lessons being in the role of caretaker and taking care of her. I've learned incredible lessons about what it means to get old. Lessons about what it means to lose your independence and your freedom. Lessons about what it means to, you know, really love somebody and care for them. It's just been a lot of valuable lessons in the last year and a half. And so I'd have to say, not so much my parents, but really probably my mother particularly, because without this situation, all these experiences and these lessons that I've learned, they wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. And you shared some of that with me before. It's interesting that there's probably, I mean, you're probably going to be mining the gifts from this for a long time. But I know you're in the midst of it right now.
Yes.
And that you can be grateful for that now really says a lot about who you are. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. You
have so much to offer people tonight. And I guess the first question I am inclined to ask you is, and I've been asking myself this because it keeps coming up with all my clients, and you know, it's so common. Why do women undervalue themselves? And you know, what can we do that women will finally let go of the who am I to deserve this conflict that keeps them from having the wealth and abundance that they deserve?
Well, it's a great question. You know, even in 2011. So many women are still programmed to believe that they can't be wealthy unless they either marry rich or inherit from family. Our media, our schools, and the family legacy, you know, that we all get mm-hmm. often tells us that we're not supposed to be big achievers or big earners either. You know, so we have these two things. We have this programming, and then we have all this other stuff that comes into play. You know, these messages contribute to why we as women feel like we're not supposed to have wealth in our lives. So we have to combat all of that. And, of course, I think deep down inside, we all know that that's simply not true. Now,
mm-hmm.
We know it. That doesn't mean we necessarily know what to do about it, but we know it, yeah. Now, on top of that, there are all these feelings of that we don't feel good enough or we aren't deserving enough for wealth. You know, we're, as women, and I'm sure some men too, people are extremely hard on themselves. And we typically... particularly women, hold ourselves to a very, very, very high standard. But the problem is that the standard that we hold ourselves to when we think about all this stuff relating to money and wealth is that it's almost impossible to meet, at least mm-hmm. I think. You know,
yeah.
So what do, right? We look for this evidence. We look for reasons that we're not meeting those very, very high standards, these unattainable standards. So we're in the middle of looking for why we can't meet these standards, and we come across a woman while we're doing this who appears to be meeting the standard, and we begin to compare ourselves to this person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this lends itself to incredible undervaluing and who am I to deserve this conflict. You see how this all lends to itself, you know?
Yeah.
So let me talk just for a second here, though, a little bit more about comparing for a minute. When a woman compares herself, and maybe men do this, but I can only speak from the place of for women. When a woman compares herself, she puts herself in the place of undeserving and of not being good enough or not being able to do it as good as that other person. And this is a huge trap. You know, comparing is a huge trap because it adds to that non-deserving feeling that we're talking about here. And, you know, one other point that I'm thinking about that just sort of popped into my head is that having more doesn't take away from somebody else. Women get caught up in thinking this as well. They think that if they have more, then somehow they're taking it away from somebody else. And even in these really tough economic times and these tough economic resources, you know, resources are not scarce. What's scarce today is our sense of self-worth and our sense of deservability. So,
that's the scarcity. Yeah,
that is. Yeah, that's the scarcity. I mean, that's where it all. This is where this all comes from. So,
have you ever heard of that tall poppy syndrome?
Yes,
Maureen. Okay. Now, a few years ago, I had done a training with a man who he spoke about. It was like there was a lot of work in this training about birthing trauma and all that. And he said something to me that was quite amazing. It made sense. It landed. So I'm going to just say it right now, that for every human being, we all come from a sperm and an egg, okay? And in that egg, there are in that each time, each month an egg it releases, there are 16 to 18 eggs, actually, that the ovary releases. But generally, only one is fertilized. Sometimes two, you know, and if like there are drugs involved, sometimes there are more. So all the rest die. So on some level, the one that survives is like the winner. And the others that are left behind, so women have these two ways of seeing things. They either feel like they are responsible for their sisters who didn't make it, right? So the women that take mm-hmm. care of other women mm-hmm. and the ones that, like, they never look back. Whereas sperm are going, and they're just trying to actually all get there. They're like a team, like a football team, you know? That's how he described it. And it's not like the best man wins. It's actually that the egg chooses the sperm, and that's a myth that it's the other way around. And so he was trying to explain to us that in our genetic coding, there's this sense of, with women, like, there's only one of us that's going to make it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I have five sisters, so I tend to be protective of women. But you and I both know that there are plenty of women out there who they just look at you, and if you're successful, like they send daggers toward you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the tall poppy syndrome, and that this is in our coding. It's our genetic coding, and then we've got our culture, okay? And that we're wired to compare. Men are just wired to win. They just want to win,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that as soon as we do that, we lose.
We do. Yep, we absolutely lose. Yep.
We are playing a win-lose game, and we're always talking about that's a bad thing, and that's it. So I'm so glad you brought that up, and it just made me think of it, like the hit I got when this guy was talking about this, that on this deep, deep, primitive level in our DNA, it's like if I make it, you're going to die.
mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's, of course, not true. So
right.
thank you.
Right.
And so how can we stop competing with others and comparing and start charging for the value that we really have within ourselves that we deliver?
Sure. Let me just add one little point before we move on to that question, because I just mm-hmm. want to say that, like, I want people to think about whether it's money or it's good fortune or friends or opportunities. If you have more of that, it doesn't take away from anyone else.
No.
And in fact, it adds to everybody else. Because like mm-hmm. if you look at it from a practical level, it adds jobs, right? If you're successful,
mm-hmm.
you're creating jobs for other people.
Yeah.
You know, you're putting more resources out there. From a spiritual perspective, it's adding to everyone else because it's expanding what's possible for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
if you think about it that way, that this belief will help you to soar and not get stuck in that comparing. But when we talk about – but let's go to the next question you asked me, which was the one about competing.
Competing,
and,
yeah. Which
and,
women
you know,
do, not
well,
just men.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Everybody competes. And, you know, we've all heard, you know, that, oh, a little healthy competition is good, right? And you know, some competition is, you know, is good. I'm not saying that competition isn't good at some level, but in terms of our businesses or when we're competing with other people in that business realm, it really isn't really all that great, because what happens is when you get caught up in competing, whether you do it consciously or not, what tends to happen is you become obsessed with what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not focused on you and your goals anymore. You know, instead, you're focused on what everybody else is doing. And so instead of reaching for the stars, you know, let's say this, you know, the stars is the big goal, the big dream, right? So instead of reaching for the stars, you're really just aiming a little bit. What you're doing is you're aiming just a little bit higher than the other person that you're competing with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're doing that because your focus is completely out of whack. You know, because you see how competing takes away from your goals and your commitment, and instead
mm-hmm.
it puts your focus in a place where it doesn't belong.
Yeah.
It puts your focus on the other person, and the focus is supposed to be on you and your dreams and your desires to have a successful business or whatever the case may be. So, you know, why shoot for this, like, little tiny amount when you can really be greater than that? You
mm-hmm.
know, so, you know, what I tell people all the time is you really got to give yourself this permission to stop competing with other people. You know,
yeah.
this will immediately release you from that burden so that you can be the best that you can possibly be. Instead of just being a little bit better than somebody else, just be the best you that you can be. I mean, that's really what it's all about.
Yeah.
And so that's my answer for competing.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
keep yourself the focus on the best that you can be.
Yeah. So the focus is on being the best that you can be instead of worrying about what the other guy is doing. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of, you know, charging what you value. So, you know, that's the first piece, because you have to get over that desire, you know, because it's really a trap of, well, I'm going to compete against this person and have a better business than they have. So that's the first half. The second half of the question about charging what, you know, charging your value, I think is what you asked me. Yeah, start charging for the value is, you know, women particularly have a really hard time charging for their value that they deliver.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that most entrepreneurs make the mistake and they focus on features rather than results. And I'm sure a lot of people have heard this before, you know. A lot of people say, well, what's a feature? You know, a feature is the thing that you do, You know, if I'm a coach, so if we were going to focus on coaching, a feature would be the number of sessions I provide, just like you, or how long the session lasts, or that maybe you do a special assessment. If you're a web designer, the website's a feature. Now, I know a lot of people think that that's a result, but it's not. In comparison, a result of what happens is a result of the work you do with the client. So this result, so for instance, if we go back to the website person, if you get this great website, the result is that it helps you market your business, you get new leads, you convert more leads to clients. That's a result.
Yeah.
Now, when women can start focusing on that transformation that they give to clients, it makes it much easier to begin to charge the value for what they deliver.
Yeah.
But they got
to
start
competing. Really, they have to really believe that they deliver something of value.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
they do.
And and that's the key, and that's what I see is the biggest struggle for most of my women clients. And you know, I tend to work a lot with healers and helpers, so they you know, and some of what their gifts are so innate to them that they're like, well, it's just me.
Mm.
Yeah, but that's just you is what's helping this person.
I had a mentor once who said, sit down and write 30 results that you give your clients.
Mm, yeah.
She worked primarily with healers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And sit down and write these 30, you know, 30 or more results that you get. And when you see that on paper, it really helps you to start understanding the value that you deliver.
You know? Yep, and it helps you not to compare to others, but to differentiate yourself in a way.
Exactly.
You know, it's very, very good wisdom. So what can women do to stop feeling guilty about making more money than their friends, family, or even their spouse? Because we look around and we see more and more women being successful, all right? And I mean, more and more and more. But, I mean, I used to be a couples therapist. I mean, it was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The more successful the woman was getting at times was a problem for the relationship. What can women do about that? They feel guilty that he feels inadequate, you know?
Yeah. Well, I got a lot to say about this. So if we were in a room and I asked how many people feel guilty about making more money than their husbands, friends, or even other family members, I bet a lot of hands would go up, you know? And this is a tough one for a lot of women. I don't know about you, Kathleen, but I don't have all the same friends that I had when I was in high school. I've outgrown some of them. And, you know, I don't have any ill feeling towards any of them. It's just that it was time to move on, you know?
Yeah.
What happens is I think that, you know, when you're really doing great in your business and things are really hopping along, you find yourself in a different place. You're in a different place emotionally, spiritually. You know, you're stepping up into your power in a really big way. Things are really moving and shaking. And you're going to very likely have friends and family who really don't like this new you. You know, it's going to get their panties in a twist. It's going to. And I don't believe that consciously people don't want others to succeed, you know, but what happens unconsciously.
It goes back to that comparison thing.
Yeah, yes, because So what happens is when you're doing really great, when any of us are doing really great, whether it be you're doing great in your business, you have a fantastic new relationship, whatever the case may be, when you're doing great, you become a mirror for other people. Mm-hmm. And this mirror image is showing them what they're not doing in their own life and how they're playing really small and not stepping up and how they're not taking control over their life and their income. I mean, that's the reality of it, you know?
I
once heard Allie Brown tell a story about how she had this housekeeper who had been with her for years. And started with her when she was, like, living in this one little bedroom apartment with her first husband. And you know, as she got more and more successful, she kept moving. And, you know, she'd move to, a two-bedroom, and then she bought a house, and, you know, blah, 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 and on. And she said every time that she kept moving, she would feel this little pang of guilt showing the cleaning woman her new place, particularly when she landed in her beautiful beach house that she lives in today in California. Mm-hmm. You know, this cleaning woman, she had a tough life. She worked very hard. She lived in a small house, and she'd send money back to her family in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And so Allie would feel guilty and embarrassed showing her new home. And what ended up happening was that her housekeeper was actually really excited for Allie, and she ended up bringing her daughter to see Allie's new home. She wanted to show her daughter what a woman living in America was capable of.
Wow.
So, you know, any time that Allie feels a twinge of guilt, she remembers the impact that she had on this cleaning lady's daughter, because the daughter ended up, like, taking a picture of Allie's car, which had, like, some saying on it about, like, living my dream or something like that. And she went mm-hmm. to school, and she told all her friends about this woman that she had met. And so she knew she was a real role model. She was a model. Yeah, she was stepping up and standing in her power and showing other people that it's possible. You know, so when it comes to your family, for instance, your husband or your sister or whoever it may be, you're really taking the leadership role in showing other people in your family that you can change your legacy and create a new money legacy for yourself that's fabulous and terrific. You know, it is. And mm-hmm. one other last thing I want to say about this is that about being a leader is that. Being a leader, like within your family dynamic, you're creating this legacy, right? You know.
Yes.
Now, the work I've done with clients on this, you know, this is a big part of what I do with women, and it's often been the most important and impactful thing that I've done, because oftentimes these women have grown up with a family legacy that has not necessarily been healthy around money. I know mine wasn't, you know. Mm-hmm. Either one or both of their parents or their grandparents or whoever was, you know, their primary caregiver, you know, gave them this, you know, unhealthy legacy around money.
Yep.
And they see how that's impacted them in their lives. And, you know, I know the people that are listening to this call know exactly what I'm talking about here, you know. And so what happens is these people, these women that become successful, and people like yourself and myself, we've made a decision to do it differently.
Yeah.
And they make a decision, the folks that work with me make a decision that they want to do it differently. And so in the work that I've done with these folks, when I talk to them about how they're creating a new legacy, especially for, like, women who have children, and you know if you have children,
yeah.
you know, this is critical to change your family legacy about money. You don't want to pass on that burden that you have been carrying around. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk to folks around this, a lot of women will just start to cry because they realize that they're changing the history of their family.
Yeah.
By changing how they talk about money, how money is handled. It's just changing all of it. And what you are empowering others when you're in power, you know, mm-hmm. you really are. When you're in power and you're really, you know, creating that new legacy and you're that role model, you are really having an impact on other people, especially if you're a parent, you know. It's just really impactful. I know it was true for me as I went through my own money transformation. I mean, I had lots of really messed up ideas about money from my parents, and I began to pass those on to my daughter. And, you know, I've had to do a lot of rework with her, you know,
and
I've been very lucky that she's been open to being reworked.
I'm doing it with my kids, too, you know, and it just came from that scarcity place. And, you know, and this is something that I'll admit that I was very successful as a psychotherapist, and I made a lot of money. I made more than most people do in that profession, multiple six figures, but I worked so many hours to do that. And it wasn't until I let that go, because my soul called me to do this new work, came back to the North Shore of Boston, where we live, right?
Yep.
And immersed myself back in this place where I grew up, the legacy of all of this, and I didn't have an income anymore, that I realized how much fear I have around not having enough, because I wasn't earning that anymore, you know? Mm. Mm-hmm. Now, I've already created a very successful business because I had already broken that, like, I'd pressed the reset button around being able to earn,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
But what I've done is that I'm doing it differently this time, with not so many dollars for hours and working so hard. I'm doing it differently, and I'm doing it very consciously, and it has not been without a lot of bumps in the road, and it has not been without facing a lot of fear, for which I have gotten some support. But as I've been going through it, and I've shared some of this with you, I've been healing. And through my healing, I'm able to genuinely heal others, or help others heal. I can't heal anybody, but I can help others. But I actually had to come back to where I came from for this one. And I didn't know, I didn't understand why, you know. You know, because, you know, I believe our souls just kind of guide us, and we're, you know, here we are, and we, like, you're taking care of your mother for a reason, you know. And I always prided myself, and it was a false pride, in not having any scarcity mentality. Well, when you're making $200,000 as a single gal, you know, why would you? You know?
Right.
But when that stops, that which has always been there starts to arise. And I really know that by doing this work, I'm healing my family legacy. I truly know that. You know, like the potato famine in Ireland and all of it, you know? I figure there's a lot of that involved in this too, you know. So, but thank you for bringing that up, because this is really juicy stuff. I hope that people are really getting this.
I hope so too.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. So we really, it's up to each one of us. It's our individual responsibility to work with, heal this scarcity place in us.
Right.
So what do you think is the greatest money leak that most people experience? You know, like where are they leaking energy around money that causes them to feel more of that scarcity?
Well, I would say time. Time is the greatest money leak. And I'll tell you why I say that. Because most people don't understand what they're worth.
Okay.
They don't understand what their time is worth, you know. Nothing is going to help you increase the money you make and keep more than putting a high value on your time. Nothing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is a huge problem for women, because when most women start a business, well, for the most part, most of us have come out of regular full-time jobs. I know that I did. You know, I had a corporate America job for 20-something years before I became an entrepreneur and started my own businesses. You know, so when you think about it, so if you're coming out of that mentality, if you're coming from a place where you had a job, you know, when you think about it, you're kind of paid. When you have a job, you're paid to look busy. You know, you're paid to look busy. You're paid to get things done. You know, you may have some deliverables, you know, in some places maybe you're paid on results, but, you know, not most of the time. But when you start a business, all of a sudden you realize that every minute could be making money for you. And that's true. And if you've never thought of it that way, that should be a real eye opener for some people. You know, you have to realize that every minute you could be making money.
Yes.
So when you really, you know, feel that to your core, you're not going to want to do these small little tasks. You're not going to want to run to the post office. You're not going to want to, enter your business cards into your database. You're not going to want to clean your house. You're not going to want to, you know, do these things, you know. And people understand what I'm saying and where I'm going. But if you want to, so say, for instance, you want to charge $100 an hour in your business for, you know, coaching or whatever your business may be, or you want to charge a high fee for a product, it's really out of integrity for you to be doing errands and to be running around cleaning your house when you could be paying somebody else to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's not congruent. You know, it's out of alignment on an energetic basis. You know, on a practical basis, it just doesn't make sense. It makes no sense. If you want to be making $100, $200, $300, $400 an hour, whatever it is, it doesn't make any sense to be doing $15, $20 hour work that you could be paying somebody else to do. And just to be clear here, I'm not advocating anybody charge by the hour. I don't charge by the hour. I don't believe in charging by the hour. I don't teach my clients, you know, I teach my clients about how not to charge by the hour. What I am, you know, asking you to be clear about and to understand is on an hourly basis what your time is worth. And
yeah.
So that means knowing what your time is worth for the time that you spend in your business.
Yeah.
And most women just have no idea what their time is worth. So there's a lot of factors. I'm just going to give you like a little, not a formula, because there's not really a formula necessary, but there's some factors that you need to think about when you're trying to determine what your time is worth. And a lot of people fail to like think about all these factors. So you want to figure out how much you want to be making a year. You want to figure out how many subcontractor expenses you have, if any, what your other expenses are, how much profit you want to make. You know, all of those factors make up like sort of like the required amount of revenue that you're looking for. And then you want to take that required revenue and divide it by the number of billable, and I put that in quotes, hours that you give, that, you know, will give you an hourly rate. You know, now don't forget that the total number of hours that you work or the hours that you would see as billable is never 40 hours a week, so don't do it by 40. Now, if you look at the rate and it's too low, then you need to raise your fees. But it doesn't matter. You have to drill down, and you have to keep drilling down to see exactly how much your time is really worth. Mm-hmm. When you figure all these things out, you've got to peel away all the layers and say, wow, my time is really worth X amount per hour. I know how much my time is worth per hour. I bet you know how much your time is worth per hour, Kathleen. And I bet there's a lot of other people that are going to be on this telesummit to, you know, with us this week that also know what their time is really worth.
Yeah.
You know, when I started my business several years ago, I was doing everything myself. It was really frustrating because the reality is I'm good at certain things, but I stink at others, you know. I hate to do my books. I hate to do my newsletter. I hate to, like, you know, fuss around in the autoresponder and that kind of stuff. I hate that kind of stuff. I'm not any good at it, you know.
Yep.
But I was doing all these things until I sat down and I figured out what my hourly rate was, and I saw how much I was worth. And that put an end to all of that nonsense. You know.
Yep.
And that, now
you know,
I hire out.
Yep, you hire out and keep the economy going. I like to, what I tell my clients is if you like have four quadrants, and the lower right-hand quadrant is stuff that you just don't even know how to do. Like there's a lot of technical stuff I don't know how to do. Yeah.
Yep.
Like, you know, Lori, who's doing all this for this telesummit, she's been amazing, and I couldn't have done it without her. This is her brilliance. She's so organized, and she's so on top of things. I completely can depend on her. On the bottom left-hand corner, things that I can do, but, like, they're hard for me to do, you know, like autoresponders.
Right.
Top right-hand corner, I'm good at that stuff, actually, and I kind of like it. And the top left-hand corner, my brilliance, right? So my brilliance is really drawing out the brilliance in others, to tell you the truth. That's what it is, you know. So it's like holding a space for people. So as I've been starting, and I haven't been at this all that long, I'll admit, but I learned really quickly exactly what you're saying, hire out,
yeah,
you know. And that's why I'm moving as quickly as I am. You know,
exactly.
And I feel good about it because I know that I'm keeping the economy going. You know, it's that I'm
sure
in the flow.
Yeah.
I've got the flow going. You know, it's coming. It's going out. It's coming in.
Yeah.
So So thank you. That's great. It's a time leaks. Okay.
Yeah, it's a time
great.
Leak. Now,
time is money.
Time is money. Now I do want to say a couple of other things about this because I know that there are people that are listening to this call that are thinking or saying to themselves right now, I don't have the money yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm brand new. I'm just getting started. And what I want to say is that's just an excuse. Because no matter what, even if you're brand new and you don't have your first client yet, or when you get your first client or when you get your next client, you know, your time is worth more than the expense of having somebody come in and do those things with you, you know, for you. You just, you know, it's just an excuse to be saying, I can't do this now. I have to get another client. Your time is still worth more than you think. You know, so you got to figure that out. Now, I just want to go back to the energetic piece, right?
Yeah.
Even if you think your clients or your prospective clients won't know that you're doing these tasks that you shouldn't be. Now, and I know that most people aren't going to, you're not going to tell your clients, of course, you know, you wouldn't tell them that. I know that energetically they will know. They will know. There's something incongruent with you if you're doing that, and I'm here to tell you it's going to compromise your ability to charge higher fees and to be able to get higher fees because you're not going to be able to do it. You know, it's just, it's like saying.
It's like you put the brakes on.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're putting the brakes on. You know, you're wanting to charge higher fees, but you're still running around and you know, cleaning your house, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's almost like you're saying to the universe, hey, I'm open for more, and then accept, and then this, like, the hand comes out. Like, it creates that chaotic vibration that says, but not too much.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like if you go to raise your fees and you'll have no conviction or confidence when you state those new higher fees, so you won't get them, you see? You know? And you don't want that to happen. So you have to be in alignment, you know. Everything has to be flowing the right way. Just remember, it's about your time here. You know, when you're doing lower level work, it isn't the money that you're saving, because you're really not, you're not saving anything. You're losing opportunities, and that's really where the real cost is. It's not in the $15 or $20 or $30 or $50 an hour that you're paying somebody else. It's the opportunity that you're losing. You know that.
Yeah.
You know, what are you really worth? That's what it's about, ladies. You know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And don't forget that, you know, money is unlimited, but opportunities are not. Unlimited, you know. I mean, opportunities are unlimited, but time and energy are not unlimited. So there's plenty of money, there's plenty of opportunities, but your time is not. You know, time and energy are not renewable. Once they're gone, they're gone. They can never come back. So you have to, time is that thing that you want to protect. And that's why it's a leak. You know, it's a valuable resource that you have, and you really, really want to protect it. You know, so one of the things I would love everybody on this call to do tonight is to pick one activity that they're currently doing that they can give up, so they can be more in line with what we talked about here. Just one, and I hope people will make that commitment.
That's a great. It's an invitation. That's great.
Yeah.
Whew. In fact, I've got an appointment tomorrow with a gal who's going to be taking over some online business management stuff for me. So. I already got it going here, you know. Yeah, because I've been getting busy, and I said, that's it. I, you know,
good for you.
I met her the other day. That very morning, I said, I'm ready, and I wrote down on my goal card about an online business manager, and I had written her the day before we spoke. We set up the appointment, and now we're going to have our second time tomorrow. It was really pretty fast. You know, when I got clear that that's what I needed, she showed up, and she's going to be great, because she's very sharp, and she's a single mom, and I really feel good about that. You know, you know, so great. All right, now let's keep going. There's so much.
Sure.
So what's the best way that we're talking about women and their power, all right?
Right.
With money, which means energy, which means value, which means love, because it's all energy, and one of the women that's going to be in this telesummit is Barbara Wilder, who wrote the book Money is Love. So what's the best way for a woman to stand in her power with money so that she can be a role model for other women rather than having them compete?
Okay. The first thing that I want to say about this is to help you rid all of the listeners. I want to help you rid the notion that when you stand in your power with money, you are somehow taking away something from someone else, or that you're taking away someone else's power. First, we can never take somebody else's power away by standing in our own. So hopefully everybody's got that. You know, it's just not possible to take away someone else's power by standing in your own power. It just can't happen. We just don't have the power to do that. You know, you don't have the power to take away or give someone their power, and we all have the power to stand on our own and in our own.
Yeah.
Now, the great thing here is that when you stand in your power, you make it possible for others to see it, for others to bear witness to it, and then to make a choice for themselves to stand on their own as well. And that's really a terrific thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that we are probably, I heard somebody say this, and I'm stealing it from them, that we're probably, I think we are probably the first generation of women in history to take back control of money when you think about it.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, it's about time, you know.
I think we actually handle it well, you know, once we get out of, you know, being shopaholics because we're not getting love, you know, we're trying to fill the love bucket,
sure.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know that one of the reasons that I think women sometimes are afraid to make more money and stand in their power is that they're afraid it will change them. I've heard this. I've heard people talk. I know we've all heard it. We've all heard the story about, that so-and-so, you know, she was a completely different woman until she came into money, and now look at her now. Now she's just awful and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the reality is I just don't see that as possible either. I think it's a myth. I believe that it's a myth that money changes you, you know. Mm-hmm. You'll hear people say it, you know. You'll hear that they used to be great and nice and, you know, blah, 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 and, you know, then they got money, and now I can't stand being around them. And, you know, I know we've all heard that, but...
Could be a lot of projection.
You know, I think... What did you say, Kathleen? There's what?
It could be a lot of projection, you know.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be, but I think that for whatever reason, there's that idea that power can that money has this power to change people. But I'll tell you something. I don't think it actually does have that power. In fact, I know it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Money is benign. It doesn't have the power to really change anybody. But I think it does have the ability to change circumstances, which will then change your experience of what happens, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But I think that really money magnifies what's already within you. So if someone's rich and they're a jerk, they were probably a jerk before they had money. And
I love that, Maureen.
Yeah.
You do cut through the BS. That's true.
You know, I mean, it's true. I mean, I just don't believe that money has the power to change people. I think that we all have qualities, right? We all have good qualities, and we all have some not so great qualities.
Yeah.
We all have the capacity as human beings to be nasty, to be kind, to be generous, to be greedy. Mm-hmm. You know, the list is endless. It's mm-hmm. how we choose to act and think that matters in any situation, right?
Yes.
So I want you to ask yourself something. I want everybody to ask themselves, what characteristics about yourself will money enhance? Make a list and write them out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then ask yourself, in what way will those qualities be enhanced? Now, if you list out some great qualities that you have that you feel will be enhanced in ways that aren't great, now is the time to do something about that, right? You can change any aspect of yourself that you don't like. If you don't think you're kind enough, then make the commitment to be a kinder person, you know? I know, like myself, I can be gruff when I'm stressed. I know that about myself. I have to work at this all the time. I have to make a real concerted effort to be kinder when I'm stressed out because I just want to rip someone's head off sometimes. And I know that other people can relate to this, you know, that you just get stressed out and you just – and I have to really work at that. I mean, it's something about myself that I know. I know it's a quality that's not nice. And so I have to work on that. I have to work on that now. Now, will money make that – will money make me any worse or any better? No, you know. Mm-hmm. Money doesn't have that power to turn you into something that you aren't. You're the only person that can do that. So going back to the original question, the answer is really simple, right? It's, you know, standing in your power. You should stand in your power every chance you get because you will be a role model for others. That's the beauty of it, you know?
Yeah.
Standing in your power all the time around money, you know, and being the person, the best person that you can be. Be the best you that you can be, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's always about being the best you that you can be. And money will not make you any better or any worse. It'll just be whatever it is, you know?
So, like, if you're a basically kind person and you make more money, you actually have the opportunity to help a lot of people, you know, put it toward, you know, some foundation or whatever. And so you actually can bust a myth around money and greed by being a person with money who's generous. I mean, you can actually change old myths that are running around in this.
Absolutely,
I mean,
yeah.
Like
absolutely.
Really heavy-duty myths that are, you know, they just saturate our whole world right now. And I'd never thought about these things, you know, so much until the past few years, to tell you the truth. I mean, I was just kind of cooking along. And as this whole economy has changed, the myths and the fears and the scarcity and all of that, everything's been illuminated, right? And we can change every bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
I really
yeah.
know it. So when all this has been so delicious, what is, and this is like, this is what I want you to be able to, you know, give people as like your pièce de résistance. What's the secret to giving ourselves as women the permission to make more money and keep it? And feel good about ourselves.
Yeah, well, it's getting rid of the guilt. Getting
okay.
rid of the guilt is
yep.
the secret to giving ourselves permission to make more money and keep more of it. And it's easier said than done for some of us. So what I want to say here is that women feel guilty about making money. They feel embarrassed. They feel ashamed. I know that. I know I've felt ashamed. I know I've felt shame in the past. And it's a terrible feeling sometimes. You know, it's terrible feeling like making more than a friend or more than a family or more than your your mentors, you know. It can feel terrible sometimes. And guilt will show up in a lot of ways. It shows up, what women will tend to do when they feel guilty about money is that they'll over-deliver, they'll undercharge, they'll hold themselves back by undercharging. It shows up in money drama, in the feast or famine cycle. It'll show up like you're the victim of something bad or something unexpected and you're not to blame for it. It can even show up in a lack of motivation to make money. I mean, lots mm-hmm. of times guilt will show up as, I don't want to make any money.
Mm-hmm.
It's insidious,
yeah.
and it's a terrible virus that overtakes a person, and it'll keep them completely stuck and completely suppressed and stuck where they are. You know, when I was a younger kid, my father used to tell me, he used to say to me all the time, say to people, that Maureen, she's not afraid of hard work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I had this belief, I thought I had to kill myself to make a living. Oh. That's what my father taught me, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
he meant well.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was one of my messed up beliefs about money, you know, that I had
to
work like a dog,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Now, these beliefs really held me back from making the kind of money that I wanted. But when I started to become successful and I started making more money than my father did, I felt incredibly guilty that I was doing this. It was like I was one-upping him, you know.
Mm.
And I didn't like that feeling. I really didn't. And so what I did was I sabotaged myself by overspending and racking
yep.
up incredible amount of debt. You know,
yep.
that's how I did it. That's how I put myself
yep.
back into the comfort zone.
Yep, that's
and
what women will tend to do. They'll take it out
sure.
on themselves.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so
yeah.
when I was finally ready, you know, to rid myself of these old limiting beliefs that was truly, you know, like just killing me, and I was just ready to give them up, you know, and give up the guilt, I transformed my relationship with money. You know, and it
mm-hmm.
took a lot of years of peeling back one layer after another. And it's
yeah.
not over. You know, I don't want people to think that this is, that this is just like you're going to overcome something and it's over. You know, it's never
yeah.
over. You know,
you
uncover
yeah.
and I learn many things about myself every day that helps me to continue to transform my relationship with money. You know, money, you've heard me say this, money is like any other relationship. It changes, it grows, it transforms. Your relationship with, and the listener's relationship with money will do the same thing over time. But
mm-hmm.
back over to the guilt for a minute. You know, sometimes when I still feel a twinge here or there over something I was, you know, over something, how can I say this? Let's see. I'll feel like this twinge here or there, like I was able to buy something extravagant or do something more than somebody else was able to do because of money. You know, like I feel that little twinge, you know. I feel a little guilt twinge. And when I feel that, I ask myself if I'm, you know, if I'm turning down the volume of my own life for somebody else's mm-hmm. purpose.
Oh,
and if the answer
yeah.
is yes, then I know guilt involved and I have to
yeah.
work on that.
Turning down the volume of your own life or light to someone else's purpose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great way to
and
look
so,
at it. Yeah.
And so my point
you don't
here
do
is,
them any favor either, because then you're
no,
not the role
of course
model.
Not. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All goes back to that. See, and my point here is that it's a process. It's not a set it and forget it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I have a really quick little exercise that I learned from my mentor a few years ago. And first I want people to think about is I want you to check in and see who it is that you're afraid of hurting. You know, so this is what I do. This is the exercise I go through when I feel that little twinge of guilt. I say, okay, who am I afraid of hurting here? Who am I afraid of disappointing? Or whatever the feeling is that you're feeling with regard to the guilt. And then I sit quietly and I think about it for a while, and I think about what I'm taking on that isn't my own, you know? So I sit and I think about that person. What am I taking on that's not mine? Usually I'm taking on somebody else's stuff, and I don't want to be doing that. So by identifying, I can better release it. Then I say to myself, I ask myself, what is that person, what does that person really value or honor, you know? I try to identify a value that they have. Mm-hmm. And then I check to see if those values are the same as mine or not. Now, when you get to this step, you might share that value of that person. You might not. With the story I shared about my dad, he valued dedication to the job. Well, I value that as well. So, you know, say I was doing this exercise and I was thinking about my father, I might write down on my piece of paper, I might think, dedication to the job. I'm dedicated to my clients, to helping them overcome their obstacles around money. Mm-hmm. Now, when I did this exercise and when I do this exercise, because I do this exercise, when I feel that twinge, I feel a lot of freedom because I'm honoring myself. Right? I'm honoring myself by being dedicated to my clients, and the answers to the first two questions don't seem that important anymore. They just don't seem that important. You know what I mean? It's like I can let this go. I don't need to feel that guilt, you know?
Yeah.
Because I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm honoring myself. I'm dedicated to my clients. You know, it's a simple exercise. But if you do it and you think about asking yourself those questions, you'll feel really different about question five than you did at question one. You're going to feel very different. I guarantee that. You know,
that's beautiful. Yeah.
Guilt is just a violation of standards. That's all. Guilt is an emotion that's felt because some standard or value has been violated. And I want you to get really clear about the values that you hold and how money and creating money and how you create money and be in service, you know, to others and to the values that respect and that you respect and that you honor, you know. Try that little exercise. I think it will help people get rid of the guilt. It has for me. I use it. I think it's really powerful. I think people will get a lot out of that. I hope they do.
Great. Thank you, Maureen. I mean, when I tuned into your, you know, when I first met you and I went on your website and I received some of your, you know, like free stuff, it was just, I did the exercises. It was great. Really. I mean, so but here, we're at the end and I want you to let people know the name of your website and all that important stuff that, because if people want to get in touch with you. So this is your time to do that. I really want you to, you've been sharing, you gave so much tonight. It was beautiful.
Thank you. Well, people can find me at www.breakthroughyourmoneybs.com, and they can send me an email at maureen@breakthroughyourmoneybs.com. I've got lots of free resources on my website for folks. I've got budgeting forms. I've got downloadable tools and tips, and I have audios that you can download. I have a great Clearing Money mini course that I invite everybody to come over and pick a copy up, and I'm always adding new resources and new tools and information to help folks with their money and their money problems. And I send out a bi-monthly newsletter, and so I'd love to share that with folks as well. Well, I was always great tips, always great tools for folks, and so I invite people to come over to the website and check it out. I'd love to have them.
Thank you, Maureen. This has been absolutely incredible and just so rich. And yay, yes. And I want to, before I end tonight, I want to make sure that all of you know that you can still sign up for the special summit price of $67 for the Golden Goddess Upgrade, which is a compilation of all the recordings. And just for tonight, you're going to want to listen to this again. So, you know,
absolutely.
This was really yummy. So thank you, Maureen. And I'm not going to come to the luncheon this week. I'm going to miss it because I'm so busy with the telesummit, but I will see you next month.
We'll miss you.
Yeah, I know.
We'll miss you, Kathleen.
I know.
We'll see you next month for sure.
See you next month. All right. Thank you, everybody. Take good care.
Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.